الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى واتقون يا أولي الألباب صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا أخبرك بأفضل من درجة الصلاة والصيام والزكاة قالوا بلى يا رسول الله قال هي إصلاح ذات البين أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected ulama ikram, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, as most of us will be aware, we have passed through a very significant, very auspicious portion of the Islamic calendar, that is the days of Hajj. Quite a few of the Hujjaj would have returned. Some are on their way back. On the one hand, we find that it is the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to the Hujjaj Baytullah that this is Allah's delegation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Hujjaj wal-Ummar wafdullah. That the Hajis and the one who makes Umrah, this is Allah's delegation. And such is their nisbat, such is their association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُعْطِيهِمْ مَا سَأَلُوا وَيَسْتَجِيبُ لَهُمْ مَا دَعَوْا وَيُخْلِفُ عَلَيْهِمْ مَا أَنْفَقُوا الدِّرْهَمْ بِأَلْفْ أَلْفْ دِرْهَمْ أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. The crux of the hadith is that the du'as of the haji are accepted. Various riwayat, we find some, it is mentioned up to 40 days after hajj. The du'as of the haji, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts. Like the poet, very beautifully he says, Ala قُلْ لِزُوَّارِ دَارِ الْحَبِيبِ هَنِيئًا لَكُمْ فِي الْجِنَانِ الْخُلُودِ أَفِيضُوا عَلَيْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ فَيْضًا فَنَحْنُ عُطَاشٌ وَأَنْتُمْ مُرُودُ. That listen, say to the one who has visited the house of my beloved, say to the one who has made hajj of Baytullah, هَنِيئًا لَكُمْ مُبَارَكْ to you, بِالْجِنَانِ الْخُلُودِ of a jannat which is forever and ever. أَفِيضُوا عَلَيْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ فَيْضًا. Give me some of the water also. Give me some of the water. Pour some of the water on me also. What water? The water of Allah's love, of Allah's marifat, of Allah's recognition. فَنَحْنُ عُطَاشٌ وَأَنْتُمْ مُرُودُ. Because you have drunk to your fill. You have visited Baytullah. وَنَحْنُ عُطَاشٌ and we are thirsty. So the teaching Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us that when we meet the haji, he said, request the haji to make dua for you. Why? Because it was the dua of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. He said, Allahumma ighfir lil haj wa liman istaghfara lahu al haj. He said, O Allah, make the maghfirat, forgive the hajis. And every person on whose behalf the haji makes dua to Allah Ta'ala for his forgiveness, O Allah, forgive that person also. So the virtues, my respected brothers, are very, very great. And this topic is such a topic to do justice on the limited occasion of Jumu'ah is impossible. But in keeping with the time of the year that it is, and the fact that uppermost in most of our minds and our hearts is this great amal of Hajj which has just taken place, there are certain lessons, certain haqaiq, certain things which become apparent through this entire exercise of Hajj. which is not only pertinent to the Hujjaj, but is pertinent to the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If you look globally today, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in reality has no longer remained an ummah. We have been divided into different nations, different colors, different races, different creed, different nationalities. And wherever we look throughout the world, the greatest harm and the greatest destruction that is being caused to the ummah is not by the disbelievers, but it is by the ummah themselves. Muslims killing one another, Muslims fighting with one another. One is globally, if you look within ourselves, live globally, within our families, within our homes, it is difficult to find any family or any home wherein there isn't this disunity, this discord, this fighting with one another. Muslim is taking Muslim to court, Muslim is fighting with Muslim wherever we turn. And behind all this, what is the underlying cause of this? Is the failure to recognize the emphasis that our beloved Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam put on forming an ummah. One of the primary efforts that Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam made upon Sahaba Ikram was to unite their hearts, was to remove the traces of racism, of asabiyat, that I belong to this language, or I belong to this background, you are somebody else, I am somebody else. But he planted the seeds of the brotherhood of Islam. And this concept of us being one ummah, united under the banner of Islam, this concept of the unity of the brotherhood of Islam is clearly elucidated through this exercise of Hajj. Whether you are a king, whether you are a pauper, whether you are black, whether you are white, whether you are rich, whether you are poor, whichever corner of the globe you come from, Allah commands you, come with the same dress. Wear your kafan and gather on the plains of Mina and Arafat, gather in Makkah Mukarramah on one basis where there is complete equality, there is no distinction whatsoever, to remind this ummah that we are an ummah. In the verse of the Quran which I recited in the beginning, Allah Ta'ala says, فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجِّ, the one who has tied the ihram for Hajj, فَلَا رَفَثْ وَلَا فُسُوقْ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ, then let there be no incorrect utilization of the tongue, let there be no major sins, let there be no arguments, no fighting in Hajj. Those of us who have some munasabat or some understanding of the Arabic language, if we look at this verse of the Quran, it appears as if there is some lack in correlation. Outwardly it appears like that. What it should have been, فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجِّ, the one who has tied the ihram for Hajj, فَلَا يَرْفُثْ وَلَا يَفْسُقْ وَلَا يُجَادِلْ فِي الْحَجِّ, then during Hajj let him guard his tongue. During Hajj let him not engage in arguments. But Allah does not say فَلَا يَرْفُثْ وَلَا يَفْسُقْ وَلَا يُجَادِلْ. Allah says لَا رَفَثْ La fusuq, la jidal. What does this mean? That this is that ihram which has to stay with you after Hajj also. This is that ihram which every Muslim has to tie till mort, till death. This guarding and controlling the utilization of your tongue. What you speak when you open your mouth. This ability to speak is unique to insan, to this human being. If you look at the birds, the animals, Allah Ta'ala hasn't given them this quality of speech. When Allah Ta'ala refers to this in the Quran, Allah says, Ar-Rahman, Allama al-Quran, Khalaqa al-Insan, Allamahu al-Bayan. Allah begins this surah of the Quran with the expression, Ar-Rahman. What is the underlying meaning? That it was a manifestation of great mercy of Allah. Ar-Rahman. Allah clearly elucidated His mercy, His rahmat upon you. directed his khususi tawajju upon you, then this piece of flesh was enabled with the quality to speak. This is such a great ni'mat of Allah, something we take for granted. My thought processes are being transformed into words. My tongue is moving. Whatever I am uttering, you can't see. It is being carried on the back, on the shoulders of Allah's wind. In your ears, Allah has kept 100,000 receptors for sound. At the back of the ear, there are three bones, the hammer, stirrup, and anvil. These three bones are set in a unique pattern and have a unique shape and size. Miraculously, when a child is born, as the child grows, every aspect of the body of the child grows. The limbs grow, the feet grow, the head grows, everything grows. But these three bones do not grow. They stay the exact same size, in the same proportion, set in the same way and manner in a newborn baby and a 50-year-old man. What is their purpose? To amplify the sound waves that strike the ear. At the back of the ear is the cochlea, the inner ear. There is a liquid. Inside that liquid, there is an object, the shape of a harp, a musical instrument. It has 6,000 strings. Each string vibrates to a different frequency of sound. There are 18,000 nerve cells present there that exacerbate, that amplify the sound signals. So whatever strikes the ear no longer remains words, it becomes an electrical impulse that is carried at the speed of 124 kilometers per hour to the brain, and then the brain interprets what I am saying. Such a complex thing is happening in a matter of seconds. I am uttering, you understanding me. Allah says, Ar-Rahman. This was a clear manifestation of the mercy of Allah that He enabled you, gave you this ability to speak. This tongue and what it utters is an amanat, it is a trust. On one occasion, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he addressed Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In order to understand the veracity of this incident, let us appreciate who is Mu'az. Mu'az bin Jabal is that sahabi, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of judgment, the flag of the ulama of this ummah will be in the hands of Mu'az bin Jabal. He will be the leader of the ulama of this ummah. Mu'az is that personality, that of the galaxy of sahaba ikram, whether 124,000 or 200,000. He is the one single sahabi that has this exclusive distinction that Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed him directly and said, Ya Mu'az, inni uhibbuk, O Mu'az, I love you. Such a sahabi. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses him and says to him, Mu'az, should I not show you what the crux of deen is, what the essence of deen is, what the pillar of Islam is, what the entire edifice of this deen is based upon? Mu'az says, what is it, O Nabi of Allah? And then like how you show a little child, what would your and my expectation be? What is the edifice of Islam based upon? Salah, zakat, jihad. Yet what does Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam show Mu'az? He takes his Mubarak tongue out of his mouth, with his Mubarak fingers holds onto his tongue, and he says, Amlik alayka lisanak, Amlik alayka lisanak. Mu'az, guard this tongue. This is that serpent. This is that snake that is so dangerous that for the cobra snake there is some serum for its poison. But this snake, the tongue, its poison and the wound that it will inflict, Allah's qasam, there is no serum in the world for it. Not only will it hurt others, you'll destroy yourself also. This is that piece of flesh that will cause fires to burn in the homes of the ummah. This is that piece of flesh that will break homes, break marriages. Generations will go fighting because of the produce of this tongue. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to Mu'az, the crux, the foundation of my deen is this tongue, guard this tongue. Mu'az is surprised. He says, Ya Rasulullah, will we be taken to task for what is uttered by our tongue? ثَكِلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَا مُعَاز. What this means in layman's terms, Muaz, ab bachche wale baat kar rahe. Muaz, don't you have even this much understanding? Nothing. هَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسِ عَلَى مَنَاخِرِهِمْ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. Muaz, there is nothing, nothing, nothing that will be more conducive in throwing my ummah into Jahannam than the utterances of their tongue. Our concept, our idea of dindari has been confined to aspects of ibadat. If the person is a five-time musalli, or he makes tilawat of Quran, or he makes zikrullah, we feel that such a person is a pious person. My respected brothers, if you analyze Quran and Hadith, look at the emphasis our beloved Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has placed on this tongue. On one occasion he looked at Baytullah and he said, you are a place, ma azama hurmatik. How blessed you are, how sacred you are. And then he said, the izzat, dignity and honor of a Muslim is more sacred than you. In Hajjatul Wada, the farewell sermon of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unfortunately, today when we talk of ishq and muhabbat for Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with most of us, illa mashallah, it's a question of lip service. Hajj has just taken place. Ask amongst us, do we know what our Nabi, what khutbah he delivered in Mina and Arafat? What was his parting advices? He began his khutbah with the expression, Asa Allah talqawni ba'da ami hadha, O my sahaba, after this year you will see me no more. If our father or mother has to tell us, I'm leaving this world, this is my parting advice, we'll remember every word. What did my Nabi say to this ummah when he began this address, after this year you will see me no more? Most of us don't even know. But if you look at that khutbah, majority of it has to do with how we deal with our fellow human being. He began his khutbah with the question, Ayyu yawmin hadha, Ayyu shahrin hadha, Ayyu baladin hadha. What place is this? What month is this? There was no possibility that the Sahaba did not know where they were. What place that was, what month that was. This type, this mode of expression was to draw their attention to the importance of what was about to be said. What place is this? What month is this? What day is this? The day of Arafah. The month is Zulhijjah. The place is Baladullah al-Haram. And then he said, listen, Inna dima'akum wa amwalakum wa aradakum haram. كَحُرْمَةِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا فِي شَهْرِكُمْ هَذَا فِي بَلَدِكُمْ هَذَا. Deen is not only salah. Deen is not only tilawat of Quran and zikrullah. What does he say to sahaba in his farewell khutbah? That listen, as sacred as Makkah is, as sacred as my hajj is, as sacred as this day is, I am leaving you, my ummah. Take this advice to your heart. The dignity, honor and property of a Muslim is as sacred as this. When the tongue hurts the feeling of someone, when you are making ghibat about someone, when you are planting the seeds of discord between husband and wife, when you are swearing at that staff, when you are picking on someone's mother and father, just because they are in your employ, bring this advice of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in front of you. How many of us? No place is safe. Not the masjid, not Baytullah. Why does Allah particularly, when He speaks about Hajj, Allah talks about this ihram? Because this is the first ihram to break. That in ihram we'll be making ghibat. In front of Baytullah we'll be making ghibat. In front of the Rozai Park of Rasulullah Park sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we'll be making ghibat. We'll be disuniting brother from brother with no concern or worry in the heart. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said on the day of judgment one person will be brought. Lot of salah, lot of zikrullah, lot of tilawat, lot of amal of deen. This person will be taken towards Jahannam. He will ask Allah, Ya Allah, why am I being thrown into Jahannam? What about all my amal? What about all my good deeds? Allah will say, on certain day you uttered certain words as a result of which you disunited the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You planted the seeds of discord and disunity. Another person will be brought. Very little amal. Great Jannat will be prepared for him. He had so little amal, he was afraid. What's going to happen? Full of fear he will be brought. Allah will show him his Jannat. The same person will ask Allah, Ya Allah, I didn't do anything. What has made me worthy of such a big Jannat? Allah Ta'ala will say to him on a certain day, you uttered something as a result of which you united the hearts of the Muslims. In return for that speech of yours on that day, we have given you this Jannat. The hadith which I mentioned at the beginning, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ala ukhbirukum bi afdal min darajati siyami was salati was zakah." O my ummah, should I not show you something that is more virtuous than salah? That is more min darajati salah. He said, what does this imply? A person whose entire life is in salah, person whose entire life is in zikrullah, person whose entire life is in sadaqah, a person whose entire life is in fasting, day and night in the amal of Allah, should I not show you someone who will get a greater rank than him? Sahaba said, Bala ya Rasulullah, who is this person? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is that person who when he utters words, when he speaks, he unites the hearts of people. He brings jor in my ummah, not tor. During the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as I mentioned earlier, this occasion of Jumu'ah is too limited, but it is my intention to discuss two incidents. We'll try inshallah in the limited time by way of sabak for us to learn from these two incidents. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leaving Arafah. Now imagine, the hearts of every Sahabi were trained on the Nabi of Allah. They wanted to see how he carried out Hajj. Such love they had, every ada, each thing they would do, that he would do, they would emulate. So their eyes were trained upon him. It was after sunset of the 9th of Zulhijjah, they were proceeding to Muzdalifah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mounts his camel, he is waiting. All the Sahaba are waiting, they don't know why they're waiting. A little while later, Usama bin Zayd, his mother was Umme Ayman, the slave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mother. She was present at the time of the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had a lot of love for her. She was a black woman. Her son, Usama bin Zayd, obviously had a black complexion. His mother was black. Usama bin Zayd comes. He had gone to make istinja and relieve himself. After relieving himself, he comes. He mounts the camel with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All the Sahaba were waiting now realize what the delay was. The delay was Usama had delayed them. Because he had gone for istinja, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was waiting for him. On this, a few Yemeni people from Yemen, they uttered the derogatory statement, Ali hadhal aswadi khabasana. Ali hadhal aswadi khabasana. Is it because of this black man that we were delayed? Is it because of this black man that we were delayed? For us to understand what a serpent this tongue is. Ulama say, after the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every one of these Yemenis that uttered that statement became murtad, were deprived of iman and died on kufr. Allah deprived them of the tawfiq of iman because of the utterance of the tongue. Ali hadhal aswadi khabasana. This haqarat, this looking down upon our fellow Muslim. Allah's Rasul, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Saab, rahmatullah alayhi, may Allah fill his qabr with noor. He used to say, that person who aligns himself to one color, one race, one creed, one nationality, and thinks of the rest of the ummah as someone else, he has slaughtered the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Usne Huzur Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam ke ummat ko zaba kar diya, aur mere nabi aur sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ajmain ke qurbani ke upar pani pher diya. And he has thrown water on the qurbani and sacrifice of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and sahaba ikram. Through what qurbani, through what sacrifice, through what hardship, what difficulty Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam underwent in order to form an ummah. An ummah is not race, color or creed. An ummah is a collection of different nationalities, different backgrounds, different languages that have come together under the banner of Islam in their hearts is the one primary goal that of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Ansar-e Medina, prior to Islam, there were two groups, the Aus and the Khazraj. For many, many years they were fighting with one another. Wars took place. It is historically reported for 120 years these two groups were fighting, killing, slaying one another. Through the barakat of Islam, they were united. The Jews of Medina could not take this. They understood the strength of Islam is not on weaponry or military technology, it is on the unity of Muslims. So what did one Jew do? He sent a youngster. There was one mahfil, one gathering, where the Aus and Khazraj were there. This youngster went and started singing couplets that they used to sing in the days of war, reminding them of their disunity. So an argument started. It got to such a stage that the Aus and Khazraj took out swords. When the message was received by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he rushed with a few of the muhajireen of Makkah. When he saw the situation, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the crux of the hadith, he said, while Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is present amongst you as Muslims, will you raise swords against one another? Will you kill one another in front of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Will you destroy this ni'mat of Iman and Islam that Allah gave you? When he uttered this, then they realized that shaitan was behind what had happened. They hugged and they embraced one another. On this occasion, Quran came down. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun wa'tasimu bihablillahi jami'an wa la tafarraqu wadhkuru ni'matallahi alaykum idh kuntum a'da'an fa'allafa bayna qulubikum fa'asbahtum min ni'matihi ikhwana wa kuntum ala shafa hufratin minan nar fa'anqadhakum minha kadhalika yubayyinullahi Allah says, O believers, O people of Iman, fear Allah. Do not die except as Muslims. Hold fast to the rope of Allah. Hold fast to the Quran. Hold fast to the deen of Allah. And do not break up into groups. Remember Allah's ni'mat. Remember Allah's bounty. At one time you were enemies. You were bloodthirsty for one another. فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ Allah united your hearts and Allah made you brothers. You are on the brink of Jahannam. Quran interprets this type of disunity based on race, color, creed or nationality as being on the brink of Jahannam. Allah says to them, you are on the brink of Jahannam. Allah saved you from Jahannam. Then the next verse which was revealed, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says, in this is ishara, that the only basis on which this ummah will be united is if this ummah together will come together. If this ummah will come together on the basis of the fikr of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where Allah says, "Waltakun minkum ummah yad'una ila al-khair wa ya'muruna bil ma'roof wa yanhauna 'anil munkar wa ulaika humul muflihun." Allah says there must be a group amongst you that will give da'wah to Islam, that will do the work of da'wah and tabligh, that will enjoin good and forbid evil. Wa ulaika humul muflihun. These are the successful ones. In this is ishara that the only amal that will unite the ummah is the fikr and concern for humanity of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hajj has come. Hujjaj have returned. My respected brothers, there are certain ihrams that till maut has to stay with us. One such ihram is the control of this tongue. Allah give us the tawfiq. Never be one who splits the hearts of others, who causes disunity, who sows the seeds of discord. Sometimes we wonder, I made so much hajj, I made so much umrah, I made so much tilawat of Quran, I made so much zikrullah, I'm very, very pious. If you want to know how pious we are, my respected brothers, One alim says it beautifully. He says, from morning, take one piece of paper, and every time you open your tongue, you open your mouth, write down what you said. From just one day, do it. One day. From morning till night, write down every time you open your mouth what you said. Then you'll know where all your hajj went. And where all your zikrullah, and where all your tilawat of Quran, and where all your effort of deen went. This is that serpent. I will conclude on the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Very often you hear, especially the businessmen. A good businessman, what he wants to do, he wants to get maximum profit with minimum investment. Least effort, maximum return. They say that is an astute businessman. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given his ummah also a shortcut to Jannat. Not just Jannat, Jannatul Firdaus. Ya Aba Dhar, listen with the ears of Iman. Ya Aba Dhar, ala ukhbiruka bi amalain khafifin ma'unatuhuma azimin ajruhuma lam talqa Allah bimithlihima. O Abu Zar, should I not show you two actions? Khafifin ma'unatuhuma. It is very easy. No effort required. Azimin ajruhuma. The reward is very great. Lam talqa Allah bimithlihima. No one. Not the person with the lifespan of Nuh alayhi salam, who fasted every day and read tahajjud salah every night, even him will not meet Allah on the day of judgment with greater reward than the one who does these two amal. Abu Zar, when he hears this, he is elated. Bala ya Rasulullah. What are these two actions? No effort, greatest reward, highest rank, guarantor is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What are the two actions? He said, as-samt, keep silent. How difficult is that? To open your mouth is some effort required. As-samt, be silent. Today we don't regard that to be an amal. Be silent, in other words, do not say the wrong things. Do not hurt the feelings of others. I'm sitting on the minbar of the masjid by the qasam of my Allah. By the qasam of my Allah. By the qasam of my Allah. Take these three things out of your life. Ghibat. Lying and swearing at others. Take these three things out of your life. Control this much, and my Nabi guarantees you not Jannat, Jannatul Firdaus. He said, Abu Zar, silence and good akhlaq and character, both things are linked to the tongue. Ulama say, husne akhlaq, husne kalam ke baghair mumkin nahi hai. Good akhlaq without good speech is impossible. Both are linked to the tongues. He said, learn to be silent and develop your akhlaq and character. No one will meet you on the day of judgment with greater rank than this. This, my respected brothers, is that ihram which this ummati has to wear till he leaves this world. Become a source of uniting. Do not become a source of causing discord and disunity in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah give us tawfiq wa khair.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.